Way, praise the Lord. Go ahead to Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. 14 and 16, excuse me. And then go to Proverbs 20 and 27. We're going to start from there. So tonight we're going to look at a scripture, or at least a few scriptures, and talk about what is the spirit of man. And I want to make sure that we understand that, because it's imperative for us to know these things, because if we are going to follow God, if we're going to follow the Lord, then we're going to have to know how to pinpoint these. So I saw some good stuff here. I've been reading lately and renewing my own mind on this material, because when I went to school, I took some courses that taught me a few things, or taught us a few things. So so we need to see what the Word of God says about this. Now, did you find First Corinthians, or at least Romans chapter 8? I do have my notes with me, so I'm going to follow from my notes. So sometimes I'm going to go back to my scripture. So the title of our message tonight is, What is Your Spirit? What is the Spirit? And the series that we've been looking at the last few weeks is how to hear God. And Romans 8, 14, 16, Proverbs 20, 27. The whole point of our message today, or tonight, this evening, is that God communicates with us through our inward spirit. God doesn't communicate to you outside, over here somewhere, you know, with some sign and all that. So we want to see that in Scripture. How does He actually talk to us? And I think there's far too many people don't know that. Some know it, but actually haven't really mastered it yet. Some people know the Scripture, they can quote the Scripture, but you can tell, you know, in some areas particularly, that they still are not receiving from God, because they keep having the same issues. Or they can't be lacking the same problems, because they have the same sort of issues in life. So we need to get better as we go along with the Lord. So if God's going to communicate with us, He's going to do it through our spirit. He's not going to do it through your mind. He's not going to do it through your body. He's not going to do it through somebody else talking to you, somebody else getting prayer for you and asking, telling you what to do. Most of the time, most of you don't want God, anybody, to tell you what to do. So why do you ask people those things? So as an introduction, many people are seeking to be led by God through other methods or other means instead of the way God had designed it, or what God said in His Word how He would do it. There is an inward man, or there is an inward side of man, and there's an outward side of man. There's an inward and an outward side of man. God is not going to lead you by the outward man. And so we're going to see that as we study this series of lessons. So my main emphasis tonight is, what is the spirit of man? And so from that, we're going to look at some other things that actually, you know, will be apropos for understanding that. And let's determine the various aspects of man, how he's composed, how he relates to the world, how he relates to good and evil, and how he relates to just natural everyday living, and how God relates to him, and how the devil is able to get the best of people even though they have a Bible in their hand or they go to church. So we're learning more and more how to actually live the spiritual life and have more victory. So, man, first of all, is both natural and spiritual. Man is both natural and spiritual. So I want to read Romans chapter 8, if you would all turn there. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to just read the King James first here. And I might go to Amplified if I have to. Romans chapter 8, Paul is talking to the Christians of Rome. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:16. The spirit of man, or at least the spirit itself, the King James renders itself, it misrepresents who the spirit is. The spirit of God is not an it. God is not an it. God is a person. So that is a misrepresentation of who God is or what God is. So God is not an it. You're not an it. I'm not an it. So he says in here, the Spirit, it should read himself. What does he do? What does he do? Bears witness with our spirit that, what does he say? We are the children of God, the children of God. So fundamentally, the very first thing that God ever tells you in life is that you belong to God. God is your father. You are his child. When you get born again, that's the first thing that happens, is that God tells you you're born again. And you know that. You just know it. Somebody said, well, how do you know? Well, I just know. 1 John, I think, chapter 5, tells us that we can know that we are his child. We call it the know-so experience. You could have the know-so experience. That means you can know that you belong to God, that you can know that you're a child of God. You need to know absolutely, without question, that you are his child. If you don't know, then you need to get born again. Let God come into your life, and he will bear witness with you. So we said two things about the bearing witness. First of all, you will know, and the Holy Spirit will know something. First of all, your spirit will know something, and the Holy Spirit comes, and he confirms that and gives you that witness. You will know something. You'll catch something. So when he says bears witness, that's not something that he does by himself. In the language there, it tells us that you can know something as well. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. He knows stuff. He's intelligent. He brings information. And we can know things. We can catch things from our spirit as we hang around with the Spirit of God. As we hang around with the person of the Spirit, we can know things. He can tell us stuff. I remember different preachers used to say, I can never get by from what lying to my parents or... And the parents would know because the Holy Spirit would tell them, you know. So you can tell people, you can tell if someone's lying because you have the Spirit of truth in you. You can tell someone is not, if someone's lying, you can tell the truth. You can know the truth. You can just sense something on the inside. Something's not right. How many of you know that? Raise your hand. Yeah? You just say, something's not right. I know you're saying one thing, but there's still something that, right, I don't have something on the inside of me that says it's okay. I don't have peace in there. I don't sense it's okay. You look at somebody and say, how are you doing? And if they're mad at you, are you okay with it? They say, oh, yeah, I'm okay. I say, well, okay. But you know you didn't get that. And so you know, you have a witness on inside of you. So that's why it's better to tell the truth. So the Holy Spirit knows, and you know. So if you want to get along with people, it's better to walk in with integrity. Right? So Romans 14, as you mentioned there, a couple of things I want to go back to my notes here, just to make sure I got this, that the Spirit of God. So, let's see. So, verse 14 says that we are led by the Spirit of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. In other words, God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you. So we have to understand that God will lead all of us. That's very fundamental. And God wants to lead us, and He will lead us. Jesus confirmed that by various scriptures in John. He said the Spirit of God will testify. He'll tell you the truth. He will show you things to come. So we need to ask Him different things. Very often, for myself anyway, whenever something bad is happening, the Spirit of God will show me. He gets me prepared so that I don't be so devastated when something bad happens. So people actually worry for nothing when the Holy Spirit never told them anything. It's just that they're getting a different message from the devil that bad things are going to happen. See, they don't know the distinction between if the devil is talking to them or the Holy Spirit is talking to them. Or they're on making something up because they played the old record from years and years. It's kind of a, you know, the psychologist says that our brain just plays the same thing over and over. And we have to make new information come to us so that we play a different record. Amen. I mean, that's psychology. And that's scientific because we know from the brain that the more you learn, the more brain cells you make, whatever. I don't know all the terms, but what is that? Neutrons? I can't remember what it is. But you make new webs. So learning helps. You know, the more you know about the Spirit of God, the more you know about the Bible, the more you'll be at peace. The more you know about what God will do. God is an awesome God. He's so awesome. He wants to help us all the time. And yet we keep running away from Him. And so, did you find Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. We want to read these. I know we can quote them, but it's better to write them down, look at them, and read it, write it, say it, believe it, act on it, expect, right? Let me just say something here. The Holy Spirit, the enemy wants to put bad thoughts in your mind. But it's up to you and me to either receive that thought or reject it. The Bible said we can reject any thought that's not uplifting. Any thought that's going to bring you down is not God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 and 6, said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That means anything that goes against God's word, that comes to your thought, is not going to be edifying to you, so just get rid of it. Water of a duck's back. Let it go. Some people will say, well, he doesn't like you. Pastor Roma hates you. He talks about you. Yes, I talk about you all the time. Think about you night and day. I can't stop it. You know, it's funny. But you know, the devil's a liar. He's such a liar. He wants to ruin your life. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But we need to reject him and begin to see what the Scripture says. Amen. So, Proverbs 20:27, he says here, the spirit of man. Proverbs 20 and 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The belly. The belly is the most inward part of a man. Jesus said in John 7:37, he said, Jesus cried, he says, you know, if you thirst, if you come unto me, he said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly. Isaiah talks about out of your belly, in the fountains of life, you can pray out information. You can out of the wells, you can dig out information that God wants you to have. In the nighttime, the Bible says, my spirit talks to me. The psalmist says, in the nighttime, my spirit speaks to me. And God says, I want to train you. I want to rain train you. I want you to you know, be aware of my promptings. Amen. And follow the promptings. Not to be like a horse or a mule that is so stubborn you can't make them do anything, even with a bit in their mouth. So after a horse is trained, he don't need no bit. Just needs to have reins. So we can follow God in any direction. We're going to see those scriptures down the road a bit, probably about 6 months' time. Because we got it real slow here. We want to go slow. So notice something over here, Philippians, you know, we says that man is both a natural being, natural creature, and he's also a spiritual being. Everybody say, I'm a natural being. I'm also a spiritual being. See, we live in two worlds. We exist in this world with our physical bodies, and yet we exist in the spirit world. There is a perfect will of God, and there is a permissive will of God that is off the perfect will of God. In the perfect will of God, you know, it's the best place to be. Amen. You know, things are not sin. God says something, and you said, no, I don't want to do it. You've been doing that for 20 years. Sooner or later, you can get in trouble. Yeah. And then you get into trouble. Then you find out, you know, God's been trying to talk to you for 20 years, and yet you said no, and now you're sick. God's been talking to you and been telling you for a long time to change, make those changes. Yes? He talks to you in your spirit, in your belly. So Jesus said, out of your innermost being, right? So notice over here in this verse of Scripture, in the Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, 24, he says, Paul speaking to the Philippians and said, for I am in a strait betwixt two. Well, what is he saying? I mean, the King James says that. But, you know, he said, I'm actually having a hard time here. I'm between two things. And we're in the spirit world, we're in the natural world. It's better to be with God. You know, when someone dies, we all feel bad, we cry. But if that person is born again, they're better off than you are. If they're born again. Not baptized, I said born again. Because you could be baptized in water and not be saved. Right? When the Bible talks about we're baptized in, the Romans talks about we're saved because we're baptized in Christ. It's not talking about the priest takes you and pours water on you. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about, the baptism he's talking about, is when you get born again and the Holy Spirit takes your spirit and immerses you into the body of Christ. Yeah. That's what he's talking about. When Jesus died, the Bible said he went down into the lower parts. And he went there for 3 days and he rose the third day. And if you believe Jesus Christ did that, the Bible says it was as if you did the same thing and you rose up victorious with Jesus. The Bible says that you and I are sitting at the right hand of the Father with Jesus right now as our position of authority. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you guys happy? Yeah, you need to rejoice a little bit. Okay, so I got to look at some of these eyeballs. Okay, who's got a good eyeball to look at? So we're at the right hand of the Father. So whenever you're praying, you're not trying to pray through 2 miles of thick darkness of demons. The Bible says the devil is under your feet. When Jesus rose from the dead, you're not just above them just a little bit. You're way above them. Hallelujah. Sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, you've been risen with Jesus Christ. So here Paul, he's saying, I'm betwixt two. I have this problem making this decision. He says, having a desire to depart. To depart. Everybody said, depart. So where's he going? Well, he said, to be with Christ. That's because when you die, you depart. In other words, your spirit departs to be with Jesus. 2 Corinthians says to be absent from the body. He's talking about the spirit. To be absent from the body. See, your body, touch your body. That's not the real you. That's the encasement. That's like John's guitar case. I see him taking his guitar out sometime. That's like his guitar case. You're not a guitar case. You're the real guitar. Amen. Making music. Unto the Lord, right? So, he says, I desire to be with Christ. The spirit man wants to be with Christ. He says here, let's go ahead and read on. He says here in Philippians, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, that is, abide in the flesh means to abide in the physical body, it is more needful for you. Well, why is he saying that? Because Paul would be more, essentially, more helpful to them if he would stay there and teach them. Because he had great revelation from Jesus to teach them about the new creation realities of who they were in Christ, what they have in Christ, what they can do in Christ, and so forth and so on. Paul is talking about dying and going on to heaven here. His spirit would be depart to be with Jesus in heaven, but he determined to live in this body. What would be helpful for those guys there at Philippi? We need to see that there is an inward man and an outward man for every human being. So there's an inward part of you. See, if you're looking at me, you're telling me something, but inward your motives are wrong. You have a different pursuit. You got a different purpose, and we're looking at each other. We're talking. We're saying words, but your spirit inside of you, your will, and all that is different. So you could be saying one thing, but inside you could be doing something else. Just like right now, you're here. You could be sitting here, but you could be somewhere else. Mentally speaking. But you could be somewhere else spiritually. I remember Brother Hagin used to tell us, so ministering in a healing line or something, all of a sudden he's preaching. Or he's preaching, all of a sudden he's off somewhere else. At somebody's bedside. In fact, he told us that when his brother, his son-in-law was dying, and he's preaching there, and all of a sudden he's at the somewhere else with his son-in-law, and he was dying. Well, his son was dying, son-in-law. And he said, sometimes I was somewhere else in another country. You know, you see that in the book of Acts. They were baptizing. All of a sudden, they're caught away to another place. Well, that's a different story. So, I mean, I'm just thinking that part where your body, your spirit can go. I mean, people who are not Christians actually practice some of that, and you're not supposed to. Jump out of your case. You're not supposed to. The Bible forbids us to do it. God says, don't do it. You might jump in something else. You don't want to be jumping in something else. So, to every one of us, there's an inward and outward part of us. The Bible teaches that. Your body is a part of your creation where your spirit dwells, and it's a temporal part right now. One day we'll have a new body. Your body is decaying right now, but your spirit is being renewed every day, the Bible says. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 and 26 says, there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. Luke 16, 19. 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs come down and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Everybody said, the beggar died. Now, the beggar died means that his physical body died. Just like Paul said, his body, his body died, ceased to function. And he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, the angels didn't carry him physically into Abraham's bosom. They carried his spirit. When you die, your angel will take you to heaven. or something else will take you. I remember Brother Hagin talking about when he died and he went down. He said when he got to the entrance of hell, these spirits were trying to take him. These big beings. When he heard a voice from heaven scream, yell, and then he said, I didn't know if it was English or what language, but he went back up. It happened to him like three times. The third time, he got born again. Because he said, God, don't you know? He's going down, down, down. God, don't you know? I've been baptized in water. Kept going down. God, don't you know? I go to church. I belong to a church. He went down, down, down. You know? You know, God's incredible. He'll give you so much, time, right to the last moment. Some people die cursing God, and they go right to hell. You know, they say some philosophers and people, they die cursing God. We studied that in university. I don't know if you probably study some of those thinkers and philosophers and people. Some people said there's no God and so forth. But here's Lazarus. His spirit evidently departed from his physical body, and he's going somewhere. He went somewhere. It says here the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. That is, his physical body was buried. Now he's in hell. That's his spirit. And Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried out, Father Abraham, and so forth, have mercy on me. Lazarus dip his finger into the water and cool my tongue. I'm in torment and flames. But Abraham said, remember that thou hast in the lifetime receivest thy good things, but likewise Lazarus evil things, but he's not comforted. Thou art tormented. Besides all this between us, there is a great gulf betwixt us, so that they that which would pass from hence to there cannot, neither can pass to us. Now, you know, people talk about this, you know. You can't call people from the dead. Those are familiar spirits. They know Grandpa. He said, hey, Grandpa, is that you? You're in the seance. Yeah, it's me. This is Aunt Jane. I'm... find my old pair of shoes. There's some $10 in there. Okay, you go look for those shoes. You do find $10 because those spirits know about things. I remember working with people. They had a ceremony. And one of this guy that I work with, his wife committed suicide. And she fell into the water. They couldn't find her. They combed, and it was winter time, and so they had a ceremony, and the spirits told them where this body would be located, and they did find the body where it was located. This was a ceremony. Hey, listen, everything spiritual is not God. Everything supernatural is not God. So we have to have discernment of what God's saying. Amen. So there is a spirit world. And so we that are born again, how many of you are born again? See, you have the Spirit of God in you. And if you're not sure, you better pray right where you are, even while I'm talking. Say, Jesus, come in me right now. Don't waste a second. You're not going to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven. Everybody say, I'm going to heaven. See, I mean, you read a story like that. Yeah, they're scary. It's scary. Yeah, it should scare you. And we should understand that that's true. So every spirit that talks to you is not... everything that is supernatural is not God. I did a teaching one time about consulting spirits and what God permits and doesn't permit. So God will talk to us, but he's not going to do it through some kind of witch or a warlock or a medicine person, medicine man, or a wizard or whoever, or even a prophet. God doesn't use prophets to lead you around. He don't use ministers either to lead you around. He uses your own spirit. He talks to you because God puts his own spirit in you, and you should know how to act. Praise God. So we want to teach people how to be balanced in life and not go kooky and just believe in goblins and ghouls and and be afraid of things, you know. And when we were young, we used to be afraid of things because we want to be scared. We want to watch the Terry Toe. Remember, the kids used to say, show me again. I want to see the Terry Toe. That's a scary show. Right? Because kids like to be afraid, right? Terry Toe. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but through though the outward man." Everybody say the outward man. So I noticed something about this outward man. It has to go to the bathroom more often than it used to. I don't know about John, but I think he probably has the same problems as some of us have. Maybe not, because he drinks that juice at night. Okay, another thing about this is this. When you get older, notice that you lose hair and you gain hair where you're not supposed to. That's what Ernie told me. Ernie, weren't you the guy that told me that? He said, "Well, I got too much hair here, less over here." What's that all about? But when you're older, you notice you change. You're not as quick as you used to. I used to jump off a truck, no problem. Now, jump off the truck, it takes me a long time. We're fixing things around here, Pastor Ken, you know, it runs up and down. So you become a little bit, your body gets older. But your spirit, you know what? Your spirit never gets old. Woo-hoo! Your spirit never gets old. A man's body in this life is temporal, but the spirit of man is eternal. Man is a threefold in nature. Man is both natural and spiritual. He's composed of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Paul, in this letter to the Thessalonians, says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He says, "I pray your whole spirit, number one, and soul, two, and then your body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord." God wants us to be preserved. Well pickled. Are you guys preserved? Preserved, preserved, preserved. Some people said, you know, we're preserved. You can see you can tell you're pickled because you never smile. Never smile, or some people just like cement. Thoroughly mixed and well set. They just never change. They just look at the same look. Don't be like that. The spirit of man is the inward man, which is a new creation. We're talking about what is the spirit of man. If God's going to lead you, we have to know what is the spirit of man. You are eternal, just like God. Holy Spirit is eternal. He has no end. Your spirit, your born-again spirit, has no end. You will live forever, just like God. Paul said, so the new creation must be the dominant part of you, not your flesh. Most people say, when Paul said, "I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body," most people say, "Oh, my body, mind, and soul." They never mention spirit most of the time. They say, "My body, mind, and soul." They don't know that the mind and the soul are the same thing. Nor do they make a distinction that there is a difference between the soul and the spirit. And so we'll look at that a little bit more precisely later as we go along, as we talk again. So your spirit and your soul are told two different things. If it wasn't, why does the Bible give several scriptures, more than one or two scriptures, that it actually you can divide it? Hebrews 4:12 says that there's a dividing between the soul and spirit. If you can divide it, it can't be the same. Why did Paul says your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless? Why didn't he just say your whole soul and your body? Because your body can be preserved. Your body, you understand this. If you understand this basic element of teaching, you will walk by faith a whole lot better. Because you won't have any problem to listen to your soul or listen to how you feel about things or what you think about things. You've got to tell yourself, I don't care what your opinion is. What does the Bible say about it? Amen. You say, well, this is the way I feel. I'm not talking about feelings. Feelings come and go. It'll change. I can get mad at you, really mad today, and love you tomorrow. It'll change. Because when people say, oh, Roma, I love you. You're just wonderful. You're the best thing in the whole world. This city needs you. I don't believe in one bit. Well, I just say, I let them say what they want to say, but you notice that the changes in people, because people vacillate and change. Jesus never believed people because he knows what people, what's in people. But you better believe in the Word. It's eternal. It never changes. The Word will never change. Thank God for his Word. Now, my Lord. Okay. So, you can listen to your soul and just be victorious in life and really big, follow God. You can't just listen to how you feel and what you think about things when you're making decisions if you're going to follow God. You can't just listen to your body and be victorious. Your body has, let's put it this way. We'll see this in Scripture. Your body is not born again. It'll do whatever it wants to do. Whatever you used to do before you're saved, if you let your body, it'll do the same thing. It'll sleep with any person you want to. It'll be lazy. If you don't take care of it, it doesn't. It'll stay dirty. It gets dirty. It smells, and you. You have to be able to do something. It doesn't have no self-cleaning in your body. So you have to be able to take your body. Your body has feelings. Your body has feelings. It can feel hot. It can feel tired. It can feel, whatever feelings, physical feelings. And emotionally, mentally, you can feel high or wonderful. But you can't listen to that. If you're making decisions, you can't make decisions based on that, because one day is up, one day is down. And you'll just be up and down like a Christian, like that. Up and down, up and down, up and down. But we have to make decisions based on the Word. And be happy and rejoice in the Word, praise God. Hallelujah! The Word of God is real. We can put our faith in the Word. No? So, if we continue, if we don't know this is difficult. The Scripture talks about in Romans 6, 12 to 14. Here's what Paul said. Let not sin reign. The word reign has this connotation of kingship and lordship. Let not sin reign or have dominion or have power over your life. People say, well, I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. It's just that your spirit needs to understand and grow and develop and have ascendancy over your physical appetites. If you want to smoke cigarettes, it's because you want to smoke cigarettes and overeat or be lazy or whatever, gossip. Because you want to. You seem to enjoy it. Sin is enjoyable to a point. But in the end, it'll bite you. I can see it's been biting a lot of you lately. You know I'm kidding, right? Some of you understand that. No. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You don't have to. But we can if our spirit's not strong. And yes, we might fall into that. If our spirits are not strong in one area, we might fail in that area. But you can pick yourself up. Especially if you know your righteousness, you can just pick yourself up. Yes, I gave into that. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm getting back up right now. And as soon as you say that, the blood of Jesus washes you. You don't have to kneel down. You don't have to come and repent over here and try to get born again because you're already saved. And you don't have to come to wait to go to church and say, Lord, I'm really sorry. Look, I repent again. I'm going to turn away. And do that 1,000 times if you have to. If you understand your righteousness, thank God. We see this threefold nature in other scriptures as we looked at it in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you is the inner man, that you, You decide that on the inside of you, I make a decision like that, and I present my body. I'm taking my body, and I'm going to make it follow God. I'm going to make it worship God. I'm making my body worship God right now. Look it. I'm going to lift my hands, and I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to say, praise God. I might not like it. I might not even think it's a good time, because if I look around the situation in my life, it's not the right time to praise the Lord, because everything is going down. All my kids are going crazy. The money is not there. People are talking against me. I have sickness in my body. It's just not the right time to praise God. But if you would begin to take your body and begin to make it do what the Lord says, praise ye the Lord, something's going to happen in your life. Come on now. Come on now. And that's why the Bible says in Psalm 34, I mean, it wasn't a good time for the psalmist to write Psalm 34 in that particular time, because the king was about to kill him and running after him and try to accuse him of things he never did. You ever get accused? I mean, every day you probably get accused, because the devil is always there accusing you. So he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Even when the checkbook is low. When I'm in the red. Or in the black. or whatever it is. I'm going to bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That means I'm going to praise. It's bragging on God. Praise means bragging on God. Say how big he is. He's a wonderful God. Now, he might not be a good time. It might be the worst time of your life. And it is the worst time of your life. You look at the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul and those guys, it wasn't a good time to praise God. Their feet are fast and stocked. Their arms are tied up against, they're in prison. They got beaten up. They're cold. They're shivering. They're put in jail for casting a devil out of a person. And they're thrown in jail. They could have said, what am I doing here? I shouldn't have come with you. I didn't want to come with you in the first place. Now we're thrown in jail because we did something good. How many ever did something good and you got into trouble? Yeah? Blessed are you, Jesus said. So we praise the Lord at all times. Even when you're having a hard time, you said, praise God. You might be just a poor appraiser, but you do it anyway. I will. Everybody said, I will. Praise the Lord at all times. Lift that hand and says, I'll praise the Lord at all times. Say, I make my mind to think on God. Say, my mind is my mind. I will think on the things of God. Say, my spirit is born again. I obey my spirit, not my flesh or my feelings, but I obey the word of God. Hallelujah. Let me just wrap this up in about 3 minutes here, because this is extremely important for you. Now, I can't go to all these scriptures. Paul said in 9:27, I keep my body under. I is the spirit man, the real you, the one that's born again. It wants to obey God, but your flesh wants to take over all the time. It wants to stay home. It doesn't want to obey God. It doesn't want to study the Bible. It doesn't want to make effort. So we make it do what it's supposed to do. He said, I treat my body just like an athlete. An athlete doesn't want to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning, but they get up anyway. And they don't want to, they want to go out socializing. And athletes can't. They have to go and cut off all kinds of things for certain years. And they have to train every day. That's the picture that God gives you, like an athlete. A farmer does the same thing. He has to be disciplined. He has to work hard times and do things that he doesn't want to do. He work hard, right? And so a soldier, doesn't get involved in the service of life, but he wants to know what his master wants. God, what do you want me to do? So he begins to he said, I treat my body. I take my body. I train myself. So just who are we anyway? What is the spirit of man, according to the Bible? Because we have to be led. He did not say in the scripture that we would be led by our intellect or minds. The scripture does not say that he would lead us by our emotions or our feelings. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say he'll lead you by how you feel. You ever notice that people, how they felt in the Bible, the way they felt, they always went down. He said, God never said he's going to lead you by circumstances or various situations in life. He didn't say, I'm going to make something, I'm going to show you something, and so when that's right, then you know I'm there. He doesn't do that for us. There are some indications in the Old Testament. They said, give me a sign. Those guys were not even born again. So why should you try to be like that? You're not. You're born again. They didn't have the Spirit of God in them. They didn't have the witness. They were not children of God. They were servants of God. We are children of God. The Spirit of man, what is the Spirit of man? The Spirit of man is the heart of man. It's the very core or center of every man. The Bible says that the Spirit of man, you know, he's on the inside. The one that got born again. The Spirit of man is the heart of man. He's the hidden man of the heart. The Bible says that in 1 Peter 3:4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. The Bible said the Spirit of man is the heart of man. It's the hidden man, the man on the inside, the real you. Your spirit is the real you. You're the real deal on the inside of you. And he's going to lead you from the inside out. Because God lives in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16-19 talks about in there that the Holy Spirit lives in you. You're the temple of God. Amen. Glory to God. The Spirit of man is a new creation. What is the Spirit of man? It's the new creation. It's the part that got saved. The part that got born again. Your mind is not saved. Your mind is in the process of being saved. You know what James talks about, that the soul of man is not saved. It doesn't mean it's, you know, you're not going to go in heaven. It just means it's not renewed. The word saved talks about in there, you know, to be renewed in there, right? That's why the Bible says, oh, he renewed my soul. He's talking about your soul is renewed in the word. Yeah. It's like restored or refurbished, like you would fix an old antique furniture or something like that. Restore and renew is the same word in First Romans 12:2 there, and the other scripture in Psalm, the psalmist said there in the 23rd Psalm. I think it's verse 5. So it's the part that's, then the Spirit of man is the new creation reality. It's the part that's brand new. It's the part that's born again. It's the part that has the Holy Spirit in it. That's why you can be led by that. So we know that the Bible divides the soul and spirit. So you have to understand and know this for sure, that your soul is not your spirit. So if you're making a decision, you don't make decisions because you feel a certain way. You have to check your heart and say what the Bible says. And that's the way you can do it. We're called the sons of God, the Bible says. We're born of the Spirit. 1 John 3:1-2 and verse 9 says that we are called, we're born of God. The Spirit of man is the part that's born of God. 1 John 3:1-2 and verse 9. The Spirit of man is born of God. You want to follow God. We want to follow God. But our minds and our bodies don't want to. God will sanctify us. So if we can separate the spirit and the soul, and the most confusing part of Christian people is that they're making the soul and the spirit the same thing, which is not, and they're making the same problems over. They're acting on how they feel, not what they believe. Thank you for that amen. When you're speaking in tongues, your mind is not talking at all. When you're speaking in tongues, your spirit is talking by the Holy Spirit in you. That's why people say, I want to be filled with the Spirit. And they try to say, God, make me speak in tongues. For me, God loves me probably more than loves a lot of you. But when the Holy Spirit came in me, it was like he was forcing me. I don't know. I just could not help speak in tongues, Joanne. Shakabaka. I could not stop speaking in tongues for like an hour, it seemed. And crying, like this too. Crying, tears coming down. Didn't care how I look. How many of you look real good when you cry? One person. No, she looks like Alice Cooper when she cries. I mean, you know, tears flying around everywhere. So, when you pray in tongues, we're going to talk about this later on, your spirit is talking to God. Your spirit is talking to God. When you pray in tongues, how many of you pray in tongues? Okay, your spirit is talking to God, and your mind is saying, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? And your body is saying, we better quit now. We better quit now. We got to go and eat. We got to go and eat. We got to go and eat. That's what's happening all the time, right? And your body says, oh, shaka maka, my myself. And your mind says, yeah. And the devil speaks to your mind, says, that's not going to do you any good. And you're shaka maka, 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 ha. And so you're having a fight. You're having a spiritual warfare. The devil's telling you one thing. Your body is saying something else. God is saying something. You're saying something. Everybody's talking. Then you say, who's listening? Who's talking? Let's go ahead and stop. Come on, let's stand up. Hurry up. Let's go run home. There's a hockey on. Praise God. Let's go ahead and talk to God. Come on, 1, 2, 3. Oh, Rabat City. Talk to God. Pray the perfect will. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you're praying the perfect will. Do it right now. Pray the perfect will for your life and your family. Right now, go ahead. Father, we're praying the perfect will of God. Oh, the perfect will of God. Spirit, soul, and body. Father, we want to be in the perfect will of God. We want our lives to be such an influence, such an impact. Father, we pray for our family members, our children, our husbands and wives, and mothers and fathers. We pray for them in the name of Jesus. We pray the will of God. Oh, we pray your will, your plan, your purposes. Thank you, Lord. So no no shite le me sama makala masata karaba. Ha 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 on the devil. Let's pray a prayer all together in unison. Let's gonna pray for the meetings coming up, that there'll be a supernatural. Every speaker will speak from the Spirit of God. Let's go ahead. 1, 2, 3, go. Oh nini me shite le me sondoro kushoto. Oh rama samba makashka. Come on, lift your hands up. Go ahead, lift your hands, open your mouth, pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, ribi sama makara de shite. Emene makasambro koshite lebe sanda. Mama sama mokoshite. Oh, supernatural signs and wonders, miracles, visions, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Oh, prophecy. Ha ha ha. Healings. Miracle. Oh, Rama Mana Setele, Nereba Kasaba Kalaba Sete, Oh, Mamana Kishetele, change, change, change. Oh, Yini Mishanda, Nalaba Kasandele, Soto Korobo Soto, Eh, Mereba Sata Lalaba Setele, Ah, Namasata. How many of you believe God? Just go ahead and start laughing. Just make yourself laugh. Say, ha 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 ha, on the devil, ha 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 ha. Oh, ha, 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 I rejoice in God. I believe God. I believe God. Ha, 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 it shall be even as it says in His Word. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Oh, shikiyama. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ha, 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 on the devil. He's a liar. Oh, ha, 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 ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, a gusher, a gusher, a gusher. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you. We are children of God. We are the children of God. We are the children of God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is good. Everybody say, the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Amen. Praise God. You're dismissed.